Deal. Hey, good to see everybody. You all look skinnier after Thanksgiving, just want to say. And somehow the turkey made you really pretty, beautiful, handsome, strong, and full of energy. There's no lethargy in here. That's really good. Congratulations. You should have Thanksgiving the same way every year. Come out more beautiful. All right. Well, now that I'm done stretching the truth, let me get honest with you a little bit. I'm kidding. You people are beautiful. We're in our series. One of our core values at Thrive Community Church is whatever it takes for the kingdom. And this is our last weekend spending on this particular core value. We've been sharing since September our core values, and it's important. And it's important, but believe it or not, you have core values that you live by, that you live out, and that that guide your decision making, guide your lives. You may not know that, but you do have them. And so it's important for you to understand what those are. And if you don't like those, maybe change your values, because you have the ability to change your values. We live in a kingdom that has different value systems than the world we were raised in. And so our message on this week topic is the kingdom first. The kingdom first. We have to adopt this mindset that our first priority, what creates urgency in our lives, is truly the kingdom, God's kingdom, not our kingdom. God's kingdom has to come first. Well, we have to cultivate that. That is not natural for us. The world pulls us in 1,000 different directions, and without an understanding of how we make our decisions or why we make our decisions, we will follow whichever way culture is pulling us the strongest in the moment. And that can be a day by day. So if it feels like you're stretched every which way, or you're thin because you're going every direction, or your attention is being pulled every direction, it's because the world is intentionally trying to pull you in different directions. And so we have to center ourselves in the Lord, in His kingdom, and begin to think about what is priority for His kingdom. What is priority for my life? Where am I going to allow myself to be pulled? I am not a victim to life. I'm not a victim to culture. I am not bound to what culture is doing or the world is doing. I am a child of God. And so I need to think through my decision-making process, is how I make my decisions, and then reassess what is going to be priority in the kingdom. Jesus came and He gave us this whole ideology to seek first the kingdom and not all the extras in life in general. But it's hard. So we have to develop a filter to where I'm going to choose to filter my decisions. I'm going to choose to filter my behaviors, my actions. Well, see, these all start, they turn into habits. They all start from thoughts. The things that you allow yourself to think about, the thoughts that you allow to take up residence in your mind, in your attention, in your days. What are your thoughts? Where are your thoughts coming from, and where are they going? Scripture tells us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Well, Christ is all about His kingdom. He's only going to align us with His kingdom and the values of His kingdom, and what is going to cause His kingdom to advance. But it's also going to cause you to flourish. It's going to cause your life to be blessed. It's going to attract blessings and favor your way, because God wants to bless His methods and His ways. God is a blesser of His word. But it's going to transform things inside of us. It's going to transform how we choose and make decisions. It's going to transform our decisions and choices. And so what I want to encourage you is to literally begin to, if you've never done this, and this is where you are in your spiritual journey, your next steps. Sergio was in his next steps of transition speaking. Hey, come on. Good job, Sergio. You're getting there. There's no beginner that is perfect in speaking on a platform. By the way, most of you would rather die than ever get up here and speak. Literally, that has been a poll taken. What is your greatest fear in all of your life? Public speaking. That is the number one. Not even death. No, death. I'd rather die than public speak in public. That is a true poll it answers that way every time it's taken. So, good job, Sergio. That's the next step. So we recognize the next steps. How many know that whenever your baby started to walk, it was not perfect in walking? Your child fell. Like, it fell down, but it got back up, didn't it? And so this is our next step. This is how we are in our spiritual next steps. We think, well, we should get it right every time. No. You're learning how to take next steps in the Lord, how to discover new things in the Lord, how to discover how He functions in different areas of our lives. You're learning how the kingdom operates in our finances. We're learning how the kingdom operates in our marriages. And we're learning how the kingdom functions in our relationships, our friendships, in our mind, in our will, in our emotions. We're learning always. We should be on a continuum of learning. Well, we also need to understand in that case, with that being the truth, because I am an heir to the king, I am a child of God, I am a son, and I am a daughter. Either way, I'm a son or a daughter. Then I have to understand, then that is just to someone, and that would be God our Father, by way of Jesus Christ, being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live accordingly. Okay, with that being true, and if we're in Christ, those are our truths, well then, how do I begin to apply things? Well, that's where it comes time spending with the Lord, spending time reading His Word and understanding His Word, gaining clarity of His Word. But I want to encourage you to begin to see the themes that literally God is allowing you to go through in life. You'll see them, especially after this weekend. There's themes in your life. Like, there's something that He's putting on your heart, or there continues to be a challenge in an area of life, and it seems very consistent with where you are. If you'll think back, look back, slow down enough, what has been going on in life? What have been some rhythms of life? What have been some continual thoughts of my life? What have been some continual challenges of my life? Well, when you begin to sum those up, put them into a summary and say, okay, here is maybe the context of that. Well, guess what? That may be an invitation to where God is bringing you to an awareness of some things that He wants to grow you in your next steps with Him. And so the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, here's an invitation to go into the Word of God, which is really, Jesus is the Word. The Bible is not Jesus, but Jesus is the Word. He is the truth. And the Holy Spirit is here to comfort us where we are, but lead us and guide us into all truth. Amen? Amen. So with that being true, and that means if I'm not comforted and I'm not settled and confident and I'm not courageously walking in the area and my mind does not feel sound and my emotions are not reflecting the fruit of the Spirit, well, then that indicates that there's contextually an area that God needs to develop and some next steps that I need to take, that I need to pursue God in my spiritual journey so that I can become more whole, I can become more reflectant of His kingdom, I can begin to put His kingdom first, I can begin to seek His kingdom in my emotions, in my circumstances, in my marriage, in my finances, in my relationships, in my workplace, in my business, in my going, in whatever area of life that God is bringing context for development and growth, whatever area, He's got a solution for it. His Word has a solution for it. So I say all that to give you perspective, to begin going on case studies. Talk with the Lord about this. He loves to talk with you. He's probably been trying to move things around to get your attention, but you're not leaning into Him to get guidance. So begin finding, searching the Word where that context is. What does the Word say about this? What is the thread from the Old Testament to the New Testament that talks about this particular situation I'm going through, I'm struggling with, I'm grieving over, I'm depressed about, I'm in the midst of, I'm continuing to cycle back around. When life goes here, I keep going here, but I know God's best is on the other side. What is that? Well, find that in the Word, and then begin to do a case study over time. And then as situations begin to rise up, begin to choose by faith to apply what you've discovered in the Word of God rather than what your rhythm, your past rhythm, your nature wants to do, so that you begin to rewire your nature to be more supernatural by faith in its nature. So you have to go back and, what am I thinking about? Why am I thinking that? Where does that belief come from? And it needs to be rerouted into the Word of God so that my beliefs now come from the Word of God. My thinking is pondering in the Word of God and in His Word in this scenario. And then my actions are going to follow my new beliefs according to the Word of God. And then my habits will begin to change. And that's when I'll begin to see the kingdom around me. The kingdom start to move. God's favor will begin to become attracted to me. And I'll be attracted in the direction of the Lord. But seeking first the kingdom and not the extras, Jesus makes a plea to us. He says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first, like be on the watch out. This is what we're talking about, doing a case study. Contextually see what's going on in life and begin to see, God, where are you working on my heart right now? Where are we developing? What are we doing to develop me, my character, my nature, to be more conform to your nature and your image so that I can reflect you? Why? I'm tired of being held back. I'm tired of being the same old me. I'm tired of being, you know, fill in the blank. And the Lord has a solution. Years ago, and you know, you wouldn't believe that I actually had to go through this guy. And some of you will laugh. But my pastor said, hey, you know what, Nathan, I think maybe you should do a case study on the word in the from Old Testament to New Testament on pride. I know, you're surprised. You're shocked. You think, surely he never had to deal with that. And I was like, you know what? I probably need to do pride and arrogance. You know, I need to shape this a little bit, get this formed up a little bit. So literally, I would read and study through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. And I would see in the Old Testament how kings would start serving the Lord, and they'd rise up in pride. And then the Lord would begin to remove their favor and the grace. And then all of a sudden, he would bring them low. But then they would humble themselves, and here they come, and rising back up, the Lord would cause the favor of the individual because of humility and cause the individual to rise up. Here's what I learned through other people's mistakes and my own. You know what? I can skip all the ups and downs of the roller coaster if I just remove or at least condition the pride a little bit and keep myself humble and towards the Lord, that he is my provider, that he is my protector, and that his presence is with me. And when I have that trifecta, then he will bless my life. And with that truth being now foundational, I can be confident and bold in the ways that the Lord is leading me. You see, there's a difference between pride and arrogance and confidence and boldness with the Lord, because he tells us to be strong and courageous. He tells us that wherever you go, I will bless. But that is according to his way and his kingdom. So when Jesus says to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, that means I've got to let go of my self-righteousness, doesn't it? That means I have to let go of my entitlement for anything. I have to let go of this ideology that I'm owed anything from anyone. I have to let go of this ideology that the Lord owes me for anything. So that abases me, puts me down in a very lowly and humble position, and yet gratitude, which changes my attitude. And therefore, my emotions are now positioned in a way where they can be healed, because I don't have room for attitude, because I have learned that spiritually and by faith, I have to start applying gratitude to my difficult situations so that God can begin to heal my emotions, which creates and causes unfruitful behaviors and actions. So through case study and scenarios and realizing, wait a minute, I'm not a victim to life, I'm a victim to me. And so now I take that victim mentality and put it against the Word of God, and I extract the gold out of the Word of God and begin to rewire my thinking and how I make decisions going forward. This is a small portion of seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. And here's the beauty of it. When we start to live that way and we think that way, then the byproduct is God begins to attract the other things that we worry about. He begins to attract the blessings and the favor. His provision starts to come our way, and we can't help it. His protection starts to come upon us. And we don't even realize, if you're a father or a mother, you start to understand this from a different perspective. How many times has your child start to go towards a dangerous direction, and you just remove the obstacle from them so that they could continue to walk in the direction? Unbeknownst to them, they were walking towards danger, but you removed the danger. How many times has your father done that to your heavenly father, done that for you, and you haven't even acknowledged him, you haven't thanked him, you haven't even known that he did that, but because of his favor upon your life and your desire to follow him and be obedient, you start to see things work out for your better. This is how it starts to function in the kingdom of God, when we seek first his kingdom instead of our own kingdom and his righteousness instead of our entitlement. He begins to transfer and change some things. He begins to transform things. And then all these things will be added to you. Let me give you a point, first point in this, or a limiting belief rather, is that if I don't take care of myself first, I'll be left behind. This is oftentimes the thought of poverty thinking. It's a thinking of lack. Well, I will never have enough. I will never be able to if I don't. And the reality is we will always limit ourselves according to our counterfeit version we settle for. But when we trade in the counterfeit version that the enemy of our soul or the culture is oftentimes trying to sell us, we'll realize, wait a minute, if I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he will cause, because I'm a son, to the king. Either he's a good king, he's a good father, or he's not. I have to make that decision. But how I make that decision will dictate what I believe and how I act after that, the actions I take. And so I will either live from he's a good father and he is the king of this universe, or I will live from he may or may not be a father. He's an absentee father, and he may be a king, but I don't know him in his lordship and his kingship. I will live. There's only two ways. I will live accordingly, and my behaviors will show the very truth in which I live. So he is or he isn't, but it's going to be reflected in how we live. So you've heard me say this before, if you've been here for any time, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. We have this compartmentalism in our faith. I'll give you these areas, but this, no, mm-mm. This is mine over here, Lord. Or this is my area. Or I'm so in love with this, I'm not going to let you touch this. And it can be anything. It could be your child. It could be your finances. It could be your emotions. It could be your physical, monetary items. Somewhere there's a lack of trust that God is good enough and he is powerful enough to heal, to transform, to reconcile, to redeem, whatever it is that is God's nature, there is a lack that we're carrying and a lack of trust towards him that we still live out of. And so that's always going to come into conflict, and it's always going to rise up, and it's always going to start to bear its own fruit, because what's in the root is going to be on the fruit of the tree of your life. And so if these things are continuing to blossom on your life and they don't look like the fruit of the Spirit and the blessings and favor of God, then you may want to look down in the root, do a little case study through the Word of God, and see what needs to be pulled out of my little root ball and what needs to be put in to fertilize that so that I can get the fruit that I actually desire. You can do a case study on that all next year. But a lack. Seek first the kingdom, however. Another limiting belief that we have, God understands my intentions even if I don't act on them. Can I tell you that not only is hell full of people with good intentions, but hell is full of good intentions. How many people try to get credit for what they intended to do but didn't do it? How many spouses are mad at their current spouse right now because of what they intended to do but they didn't do? Don't raise your hands. No elbows. No, none of those. But it's true, right? So I want to change how you see intentions. Because what if intentions, the good intentions, is actually an invitation from the Holy Spirit that prompts you towards a revealing and an understanding, a walking into the blessings you've been praying for, but it's going to come with a little bit of adversity to get there and to prepare you to be able to be stable enough for that blessing that you're praying for. So what if the good intention, well, I intended, maybe that was just a thought that you considered an intention, but in reality, that was a thought, that it was an invitation from the Holy Spirit for you to act upon and by faith sacrifice some stuff, lay some of your life down, some stuff down, your ideology, your way, your emotions, your whatever it's going to cost you, because it should cost you. Worship in the kingdom and following God always costs you something, and that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing, because the costing actually prepares you for the abundance and blessing that he actually has for you. So, it's an invitation. So if I start to see it as an invitation and don't let it just be an intention, then I may be able to walk in the very thing, the blessings that I've been praying for. This is important. Because your prayers, the things that you've been praying for, hoping God will do, hoping he will transform, is going to come with some sense of adversity for you to walk through so that he can form his character in you and shape some of your character that's not fruitful for the journey ahead out of you. Because what may have gotten you here is not going to get you there. And we can't pray for God's a breakthrough, a transformation, and a move of God and stay the same. So the change, what has to change and transform is how we think about God, how we think about situations, how we allow things to happen in our lives, how we allow things to take hold in our lives, how we allow our thoughts to turn into actions and beliefs and actions and habits. We have to work back into the root of the issues. If I limiting belief, God understands my intentions even if I don't act on them. Let me just tell you, what if we're missing God move in our lives because we didn't act upon them? James would define this. He would say, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because guess who's deceived in your excuse of, well, I intended to. Only you. There's only one person. You're not even deceiving or appeasing the person that you told that to. You're just revealing how deceived you are as an individual. Dang. Well, at least somebody told you the truth finally, and I'm the guy you can hate me for. You can write a little letter to me and whatever. But what if? What if? Because here's the question, your good intentions, because I can tell you what you have priority and urgency for, because all I have to do is check your calendar and your checkbook. That'll tell me everything I need to know about where your priorities are, what you see is urgent, and the date on your checkbook post you receiving your paycheck. That'll tell all. Because it's a placement in the heart. It's a placement in your intention. It's a placement in your focus of which that's where you're going to make your decisions from. You're thinking that way already because you've trained yourself to think about God's kingdom. And he tells us to do just that, to bring the first and best, not what's left. Now, let me tell you, after Thanksgiving, I love leftovers. But we're talking about something different here. We're talking about priority and putting God first in all things. So he's first in my marriage. He's first in my finances. He's first in my relationships. You know what that means? That means some decisions within any of those domains or my business or whatever I do, him being first is going to have to guide what I do in those situations, those environments, those scenarios. So him being first is going to have to guide the way I steward finances. Him being first is going to have to guide how I handle my marriage. Him being first is going to have to guide who I allow to be in relationship with me, or at least in close proximity in relationship. That probably just will set free a bunch of people. Because some of you, and you can see this prophetic as you want, some of you are unwilling to pull away from certain friends that you know are not healthy for you because you think you're just supposed to do that. You're supposed to be a good friend. No, you're not. You can still be friendly to them while protecting and setting up boundaries so that you can actually develop and become the person, the man or the woman, the child of God that you're supposed to be. And so maybe it's time in 2026 for you to start putting up some healthy boundaries and say, you know what, I really appreciate and value everything that we've had, but I'm going into a new season. And I'm just going to need some space. You can explain the rest of it later whenever you get enough courage and culture inside of you, confidence and boldness, and they start to see some transformation. And you'll know if they're your friends because they're celebrating your transformation and not trying to bring down your transformation. You want to put some relationships to the test? Do that right there and see if they're there afterwards. But some of us are too emotionally and soul attached to people that are unhealthy for us, and we are debilitating our own spiritual growth for the sake of somebody who's just using you for their own comfort zones anyway. I'm sorry I'm on that one, but there's somebody and people that need to hear that right there. But bring your first and your best, not what's left. Malachi 3:10 tells us to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And I love that the Lord says, now you can test me in this. Try me in this. I grew up in the 90s, like 90s, how I grew up in the 80s and 90s. Test me. Bet you won't. Anybody grow up like that? Bet you won't. I bet you won't. That's what the Lord is doing right there to you. Bet you won't. Test me. See what I'll do. That was always a taunt. May end up in a fight. May end up in something else. Who knows what it's going to end up in? But I bet you won't. This is what the Lord is in there testing us. Bet you won't, says the Lord. But here's what he said. But if you do, those prayers you've been staying up late at night, that thing that you've been waking up in the middle of the night and going into tears for, hoping that there's a breakthrough or whatever it is, you need this, you need me to show up, you want me to do this and you want me to do that, and you need me to move on your behalf in your marriage, in your relationship, in your emotions. You're tired of having that depression. Hey, I gave you a prescription for that depression. Because you test me in that, see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out so for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Can I tell you right there, God begins to work on your trust with him first. He begins to work on your emotions and your ability to trust him in the most difficult situations, because there's nothing worse than giving somebody a lot of resources that can't emotionally handle the resources that he's blessing you with. Because there'll be wasted resources, because emotionally you'll start to depend upon those resources rather than him as God. And so when he gives us abundance, we start to see that we have access to abundance. We have provision, so we don't need the provider. Can't tell you how many times I've watched people grow and start to pray, and they're sitting there even tithing and giving and serving, and then the Lord begins to bless them, and all of a sudden they start following the blessing rather than the blesser. Where are you going? What are you doing? Well, I'm just too busy. No, you're out of order. Your priorities are jacked up. You started. What happened to you? I can't tell you how many times I've seen it happen over and over and over. And it was all good intentions, by the way. Remember those intentions we talked about? We have limiting beliefs. I can give when I feel more stable. Let me tell you, you will never be stable or feel stable until you start to give, because your stability has to come from who is providing for you. And for as long as you are your own provider, then you will depend upon you for stability, and you will never be enough. You will always be on an emotional roller coaster, so therefore you will always live in a mental sense of instability, because when God shows up and we start to show him and prove to him, you are my provider, my heart begins to transform, because where my treasure is, so too is my heart. My heart is now towards the king and his kingdom, and now I'm recognizing him. I'm showing him and myself, my flesh, my soul, that my provider is from a different world, and he provides in a different way than what this world has convinced me provision comes from, where it comes from, and what it is for. So then God begins to prepare me with stability, so through every storm and every battle, all of a sudden I become stable, because no matter what is happening, what lack we're going through, what hilltop we're on, my mindset is still stability, and people can depend on me, God can depend on me, and I'm going to continue to depend on God. This is how God begins to form us and shape us. Guess what's going to come along with all of that instability in those times of development? Character formation, emotional formation. So if you're having these emotional roller coasters, let it be that there's a pointing, a red neon sign saying, hey, this is where we're working right now, right here on this fruit that doesn't belong. Listen, I do this with my kids. You don't think your father, I am not the originator of that. I get it from my heavenly father. Because I recognize when he's doing those things with me. So with my daughter right now, we're going through a season of responsibility. No, remember, we're working on responsibility. That is yours. You put it there. You want it, and you want it with you. Therefore, it is your responsibility. Please don't think that I created that ideology. My father does that with me all the time. And he does the same with you because he treats his kids the same. Honor the Lord. Here's the unlock. When I start to honor the Lord of my possessions, you know what happens? He starts to transform a mind that it's not my possessions, that's his. He just gave it and gave me stewardship of it. And so therefore, I start to steward it with an open hand. You can give it away, you can take it, or you can give me more, whatever you want. But it's yours, and it's here for me to steward according to your ways. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. Sow your barns. Here's what we want. We want the plenty. Well, he's giving you a prescription again. Here's yet again, and I can show you dozens of these throughout Scripture. Then honor him with his possessions and the first fruits of all your increase. It's simple. This is where the abundance comes from. But the abundance has to change your mentality from lack to abundance. Either you have a God of lack or you have a God of abundance. And how you behave and your habits that you create will come from the thoughts or the beliefs that you embrace. So my actions will show that I believe that God is lack or he's distant or he won't show up for me in my time of need. Or my belief is he's a God of abundance. He is near, he is good, and he will show up for me even when I don't even understand and in ways I don't understand. And I'm letting go of control of how he shows up, when he shows up, if he shows up, should he show up. I am letting go of control of all those things because I just know deep in my innermost being that he will show up. A to the man to that. So we got to confront comfort, fear, and tradition with just kingdom obedience. Well, I don't know if I can do that. Well, who cares? Is there an intention? Was actually an invitation to just go for it. Well, I don't know if I should. It's an invitation. Well, you know what? It's just going to cost me a lot. Well, yeah, you can stay in your comfort or you can grow in the Lord. Which one do you want? Well, you know, it's just how we've always done things. Well, yeah, that's great with tradition. That's great that God was doing that way back then. But what is he doing right now? So many of us lean towards tradition, and I love my wife. She's helped us create family tradition. I'm pretty non-traditional, and those are great. Those traditions are great, but when our traditions that we do in church or do we do in our spiritual journey, our spiritual life, if our tradition begins to be a distraction from being obedient to what the Lord is saying now and in this coming season, then now tradition becomes a problem. Because now I'm trying to control how God shows up. So you can be in control, or you can be obedient, but you can't be both. It doesn't work. So we have to let go of these. Mark 7 said this, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. What is that? How about we just get back to what is the Lord saying right now? What's he doing? He's never going to dishonor his word. He's never going to dishonor himself. He's never going to dishonor his kingdom. But I have to have this sense of urgency. I have to have this sense of expectation. I have to understand that God is going to move. God is going to begin to move on his behalf and my behalf. And all I have to do is position myself to be in obedience and alignment. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Can I tell you, there's times in my life when I'm going into new things or I'm coming out of difficult seasons, I have to remind myself, and there's a specific song that I play, that I play that says, he's given me a sound mind for a spirit of fear. A sound mind, because chaos and all this stuff, these thoughts start to run through your mind when you're going into situations. Sergio, am I right? Did any thoughts come on your mind while you're up here on the platform trying to do some like you're going into something or you're preparing for something or God is leading you into, you've been praying these things and you've been humbly trying to serve him and follow him, and then all of a sudden he opens up the gates, the windows of heaven for you, but it's going to require some things of you. It's going to challenge the heck out of you. It's going to scare the heck out of you. It's going to begin to bring some fears of insecurity, insufficiency, and all these other insults. But he is starting to replace those with, I am sufficient. I am able to do it. You are not, but I will, and I want to. And so all these thoughts start to run through your mind. At least they do for me, and I have a sound mind. I have a sound mind. I bring all, I clear all the chaos that's going on inside of me. I have a sound mind. Nope. God, you've given me a power, love, and a sound mind. I have to grab a hold of his love for the journey ahead. I have to embrace the power that he's given me to walk through that. But I have to begin to remind myself, I have a sound mind. I'm not. What I'm saying is I'm not listening to all that stuff. I'm not listening. You know how many people run? Often we run from situations that God is taking us that we're going to cause blessing upon our families and our lives. We run from them because we're listening to the chaos in our heads rather than declaring that he has given us a sound mind. When you declare that you've been given a sound mind rather than listening to the chaos that starts to rise up inside of you, maybe it's past trauma, maybe it's upbringing, maybe it's lies spoken over you, maybe whatever the case may be, insecurities, insufficiencies, when you start to break through that, you start to have clarity and peace, and all of a sudden you start to see the kingdom of God begin to open up in front of you. Let me just tell you, that starts with a seed. We haven't done this in a couple of years, but this year I'm going to start, I'm going to lead you in this direction. My family and I do this every year, but I haven't led the church to do this in a couple of years. So the word of the year for me from the Lord has just been wisdom. Focusing on wisdom. What's the wise thing to do in this situation? What's the wise thing to do in this scenario? What's the wise thing to say? What's the wise? Well, I was thinking about all of that, and then this Christmas coming up, it's a reminder that the wise brought gifts to the Lord. Isn't it interesting that Matthew emphasizes this so strongly, that the wise were bringing gifts of great expense to the Lord for his birth? So in the seat back in front of you, I am asking you and your family to begin to pray. Two things. Lord, would you bring an awareness to my mind over the things, the struggles that we've had in 2025, or personally that I've had in 2025, the things that I've been struggling with and struggling over, and the things that have been entangling with me. And as he begins to reveal those things, or you already know those things, in 2026, Lord, I am going to lay that down. That's the very thing that I'm going to run at rather than run from. I'm going after that. Lord, I ask that you take me through your word. Take me through every character in the Bible and how they experience these same scenarios. And Lord, I'm creating fertile ground in my soul for you to move. And you know how he says to attack that? He says your treasure is where your treasure is, so too is your heart. So in Christmas, in this Christmas season, starting in Christmas, trickling into January, I'm going to encourage you to bring in a first fruit, saying, I'm burying this seed into the fertile soil of my soul, and I am asking you, Lord, I'm giving first to you, Lord, and I'm asking that you bring transformation into my life. You transform these areas of my life. Open my eyes to the things of the kingdom in this life. In the seat back in front of you, you'll see a little envelope. It says first fruit offering. You can take it now or you can take it later, but I will encourage you to pray over what has been the hang up in 2025. Where is he taking you for 2026? And the second thing is, Lord, what do you want me to give? Because true worship is costly. And the wise men showed us, out of value and gratitude for salvation, they brought expense, they brought gifts of gratitude. And so to change your attitude, maybe you need to have a little bit more gratitude. So I want you to stand up, and I want to pray over you. If the prayer team can come forward, if anybody needs prayer for anything, I invite you to come forward. But Lord, we just ask that you move upon us and let us no longer take into the next year what we've dealt with in the previous years. Lord, I pray for every family in here, every single person, every person who's going through a difficulty. Lord, I pray for the strength and the awareness of what you're doing. You're inviting them into, Lord. Lord, I pray that you bring the context of 2025 into their hearts, into their minds, into their souls. And Lord, throughout this week and weeks, that you begin to bring it into their remembrance, the things that you want to do. contextually what you want to scripturally take them through, Lord. Lord, I pray that you begin to reveal from your word, reveal from your truths the things that you want them to replace into the depths of their soul to live out of. And Lord, I pray that you begin to show them what sacrifice that you want them to bring in celebration of showing gratitude, a level, a measure of gratitude for what you've done for their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen.
I will sing of the goodness.